Hello and welcome. Here's the single most surprising lesson I've learned after years working with phone addiction and training hundreds of therapists. The best predictor of whether change sticks isn't motivation or willpower. It's catching the right symptoms early and understanding the job the phone is doing, not generic detox advice. Precision. When you look at how someone uses their phone and say, "This isn't just a habit, it's doing a job," everything shifts. Maybe it's relief from anxiety, a hit of validation, a shield against boredom, a shortcut to feeling connected. Once you see the job, you can meet the real need, not just fight the behavior. It's like treating a fever. The number tells you something's off, but not why. Screen time stats are signals. If you take away the device without replacing its function, it's like asking someone to toss their only umbrella in a downpour. They'll grab it back the moment it rains. Two people can look the same, checking every few minutes. One is soothing, "I'm not seen." The other is dodging a hard task. Give both "no phone before lunch" and you'll miss. One needs better connection. The other needs tools for discomfort and task starting. Same symptom, different function. So what should we spot early, ideally before the first session? Three non-negotiables. First, escalating use to get the same feeling. 10 minutes used to satisfy. Now it takes 45 and still doesn't land. That's tolerance. Your brain adapts and needs more for the same effect. When I hear that, moderation tips alone won't cut it. We'll need emotional regulation work too. Try this. Don't just track minutes. Track how satisfied you feel after each session, 1 to 10. If time climbs while satisfaction drops, you're watching tolerance form in real time. That's gold. And no, it's not a willpower failure. These apps use slot machine design. Random rewards keep you pulling the lever. Your brain is doing what it was trained to do. Second, withdrawal-like feelings when separated from your phone. Not mild annoyance, more like the stomach drop when you leave it at home. Phantom buzzes, restlessness in a waiting room. That means the device is woven into your emotional regulation system. Here's the key nuance, timing. If anxiety spikes within minutes, your phone may be acting like a security blanket, safety by proximity. If discomfort shows up after a few hours, that points to unmet social needs like fear of being left out. Think of it like a digital tether. The shorter the tether, the faster it yanks you back. Once we know whether it's safety or connection, we can replace that function with healthier supports. Third, visible decline in life outside the screen. Not just, "I'm on my phone a lot," but "I'm not doing what I used to love." Hobbies shrink, work dips, workouts get skipped, meals turn into scroll sessions. That's not time management. It's avoidance. The phone cushions discomfort, boredom, awkwardness, the pressure of starting something that matters. One client said, "I still love guitar, but I get home, open my phone, and the evening's gone." The fix wasn't just fewer minutes. It was noticing what he was dodging at 6 p.m. Exhaustion and fear of not sounding good, and giving him a ritual. Breathe, drink water, sit with the guitar for one song. Not perfect, just present. Small shifts break the avoidance loop and bring back offline joy. If you need a quick test, try Reclaim 20. Pick one thing you used to enjoy and give it 20 minutes today. Not as a rule, as a gift. Expect your brain to fight it at first. Notice how you feel after. In studies limiting social media to about 30 minutes a day, people felt less lonely within weeks. On the ground, that looks like better sleep, more eye contact, and actually being in your life again. If you're a therapist, here are the first session questions. Has your use escalated while your satisfaction dropped? What do you feel and how soon when you can't check your phone? What have you stopped doing in the real world? These answers reveal function. Escalation points to emotional regulation needs. Immediate withdrawal points to safety needs. Delayed discomfort hints at connection needs. Loss of offline life points to avoidance. Once you know the function, match the intervention. Build regulation skills, create alternate sources of safety and connection, and teach discomfort tolerance and task starting. For everyone else, the same principle applies. Don't only ask, how do I cut back? Ask, what job am I hiring my phone to do right now? Calm me in a loud room? Give me appreciation after a long day? Help me dodge a tough project? No shame, just information. And information is leverage. Here are three tiny experiments to get that leverage. The satisfaction log. After each phone session, jot a 1 to 10 satisfaction score. If numbers fall while minutes rise, that's tolerance. Pair any limits with emotional regulation tools, breathwork, mini meditations, short walks, cold water on wrists, a 60-second body scan. The timing test. Leave your phone in another room for 15 minutes. Notice when discomfort shows up. If it's instant, plan safety signals you can carry. Paced breathing, a grounding object, a mantra, basic orientation. Name 5 things you see. If it's later, plan connection. Text a friend at a set time. Schedule a call or a walk, or set check-in windows instead of constant checking. The Reclaim 20. Choose one offline activity, cooking, drawing, lifting, calling a friend, and give it 20 minutes, no phone in the room. The goal isn't perfect. It's to prove your brain still feels good off screen. Let me say this clearly. This isn't about shaming anyone for using a tool engineered to be sticky. It's about precision. The magic isn't in restriction, it's in replacement. When the phone is meeting a real need, honor the need and build something sturdier around it. That's how change sticks. The clients who do well aren't necessarily the most disciplined. They, or their therapists, catch the patterns early and aim at the root. Over time, this turns guesswork into something closer to precision medicine for your digital life. Instead of use your phone less, we say, let's give your nervous system what it's been asking the phone to provide. Calm, connection, confidence with hard tasks. Once those needs are met directly, the phone stops feeling like oxygen. It goes back to being a tool. If you want the deeper technical details, the neuroscience, the research and structured assessments, they're in the written piece that inspired this episode. But for today, remember, symptoms aren't the enemy. They're a map. The same behavior can serve different needs. Early recognition is the foundation. So next time you reach for your phone, ask, what job am I hiring this for right now? Name the job, choose the right tool, and you get your time, attention, and life back. One small, compassionate decision at a time. Thanks for listening. If this resonated, try one of those three experiments today and see what it reveals. I'm cheering you on.